This is the Adam Gold Show.
Pyotr Kochetkov got the best of Chicago last night. Got it? See, I don't just, never mind. Dennis Cox on the ones and twos today. This open put together by our friend Rusty Helser, though. He was very proud of that. He was doing it after the hockey game last night. We were both here very, very late. Yeah, very late.
It was a very late night.
We walked out of here like 1 o'clock in the morning. Holy cow. So you're here today. How are you, Dennis?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah, I was also up late last night doing some cane stuff.
Oh, were you ballying?
I was.
Yeah.
It was still a late night, yeah.
Good win for the Canes. They needed to win after the loss on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So played well for a period, and Pyotr Kochetkov played well for three. So good for them. We will talk about it a little bit later on. There's a lot of football to discuss today. There's some there's some fiction we have to discuss today.
Ooh. I love a good story.
It is story time.
Yes.
It is story time, and it's sort of lazy story time, too, which is kind of upsetting. And we have a real test for Duke on the basketball court tonight. Like Jacksonville not coming, South Carolina upstate not coming, Kansas will be, I think they're in Indianapolis for the Champions Classic. So we got a lot of stuff.
Sounds right.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. The game starts at like midnight.
Yeah.
Well, not really. It starts at 9:30, but what's the difference?
We all know it's not going to tip off till 10:15. Let's be honest.
Well.
Because the first game's at 7. We all know it's going to tip.
Well, I think it'll tip off like 9:40. In between games 1 and 2 is more fiction. And that's actually where we're going to start. Chapter 3 of the fictitious college football playoff ranking tonight on ESPN. Not at 7 o'clock, when normally it's story time, where we sit on Grandpa's knee.
Aww.
And he reads to us. This one is between games of the Champions Classic. So you've got Michigan State, Kentucky in game one. That's at 7 o'clock. Then Uncle Boo Corrigan comes out and reads to us about the college football playoff rankings. And then we get Kansas and Duke. Number 7, Duke. Number 5, Kansas, I think it is. So the Duke game will start after Uncle Boo is done telling us a story. I can't wait for that. And that's actually where we're going to start, because there shouldn't be any changes to the top five, right? Georgia won, and they're playing at Kentucky. Ohio State won, they're playing at Maryland. Michigan won, they're playing at Illinois. Just understand, either this or the Penn State game will be Michigan's two best games this year.
Yeah, when Illinois just lost to Purdue.
The Big Ten is no different than the ACC, except they have two teams who are better than everybody in the ACC. I think Michigan and Ohio State would be the two best teams in the ACC.
Yeah.
But after that, the Big Ten and the ACC aren't any different. No different. But we don't talk about the Big Ten like we talk about the ACC, because it's easy. TCU won at Texas.
Yeah.
And they will be at Baylor this weekend. Tennessee won. And they will be at South Carolina this week. I don't anticipate that's going to be a problem. I'm not sure any of these are going to be real problems. TCU might have a little struggle with Baylor. Maybe Michigan at home will have a little bit of a struggle with Illinois. I don't know, maybe Ohio State struggles at Maryland. I don't know. I think all five will ultimately win, right? Oregon and UCLA lost, so we shouldn't have a change in the top five. That's Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee was the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon and UCLA lost. Oregon lost in breathtaking fashion.
Yeah.
All right, you're going for it there? All right, good for you. Good for you. Way to be bold.
I respect it.
Way to be bold. Like, punt the ball. Anyway, So Oregon and UCLA lost. LSU struggled, but won at Arkansas. Southern Cal won. My guess, and I'm just guessing here, USC 6, LSU 7, Alabama 8, Clemson 9, Utah 10. That's what I think it will look like. Just guessing. Now, if you are a North Carolina fan hoping to hear UNC in the top 10, I don't believe you're going to hear that. I hope you will, but I don't believe you will. But let me issue this caution to you. Do not, I repeat, do not be alarmed or angry if UNC is still down around 12 or so. Remember, the rankings are irrelevant. They do not matter. Not in the least. They do not matter. They're not telling you a story. They're giving you a snapshot of what you are seeing today. If I could point this out, do you remember the viral photo of Gary Williams at a party eating chicken wings? Right?
Yeah.
The picture was taken at a time where they either caught him as he was blinking or as he was coming out of a blink, right? So his eyes are like closing, either closing or on the way to opening, and he looks bombed.
Yeah.
That photo made the rounds like Gary was like in the bag. No, he was simply closing his eyes while eating a chicken wing. It was a great photo that had thousands of memes, and that's okay. But just that is exactly what we're seeing here. Just a snapshot. And when it fully develops, think of it like a Polaroid, when it fully develops, we'll find out what UNC really is. So 3 games from now, if UNC still has a 1 in the loss column, I'll bet you they're in the top 5.
I can see it.
They might not be in the top 4, but I bet you they'll be in the top 5. If there is a 1 in the loss column, the first Sunday in December, they'll be in pretty good shape. So don't be alarmed. All right, moving on. I'll just say, OMG. The Commandos won in Philadelphia. Rejoice. All right. Now who feels silly about talking about the perfect season for the Eagles?
Oh, everybody.
These things, I have to caution myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. We always have ESPN on in the studio.
Usually.
It's the easiest way to keep up with anything that happens to break in terms of news. If, I don't know, for instance, if Josh McDaniels won a game as the coach of the Raiders, right? We'd see breaking news at the bottom of the screen, right? So if the Panthers found a good quarterback, it would be breaking news at the bottom of the screen. So all day long, there are stupid topics of conversation. We're talking about MVPs after 2 weeks, right? Which we have these conversations. Who's the MVP? I'm like, what? We've played 2 games.
Yeah.
What? So when the Eagles were like 6-0, we were talking about, could the Eagles go undefeated? No. I mean, yeah, could they? Yeah. Are they? No. It's not that the Eagles aren't better than most, if not all, of the teams on their schedule. You're not going to find anybody that thinks they're not better than Washington. Even in Washington, you're not going to find any people that think the Eagles aren't better than the Commandos. But the Eagles are not so great that they're going to lay waste to the whole league. Do you realize what it takes to do that? You have to be unbelievably good. And the Eagles are really good, but they are not a transcendent team by any stretch of the imagination. Even in this NFL, where the overwhelming majority of teams are just okay, the Eagles aren't that much better.
What's more annoying, the conversation of can they go undefeated or the, oh, look at the Dolphins, 72, popping champagne, that team.
Well, that's old.
Well, I know, but that, people no. still bring it back, right. which is
well,
more
they
annoying.
Do. Like, bless, I've actually talked, I don't know how many times, probably 15 times, to Mercury Morris.
Really?
Because Mercury Morris is basically the lead of that group.
Yeah.
They pop champagne as soon as somebody, like they when the Patriots were going for their Super Bowl and mm-hmm. to cap off a perfect season. Remember?
Yeah.
They went 16-0. Mm-hmm. And then they went 17-0. And then they went 18-0 because they won two playoff games. Then they lost in the Super Bowl and Mercury Morris would not get off. Well, they can't be better than us. They can just tie us because they were perfect. You can't mm-hmm. do better than perfect.
Yeah.
Right? So they wouldn't get off of it. That team was, that was a spectacular team, the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They weren't like high flying. They weren't an overwhelming offense. They ground you into a pulp. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball down your throat for 60 minutes.
But anyway, it's just,
I know,
they're
I'm
both annoying.
I'm with you. I went off on a tangent. I apologize for going off on a tangent. By the way, back to the now who feels silly about the perfect season.
Mm-hmm.
Here's more silly for you. We have reached the part of this movie where we say things like, oh, man, I think Washington solved their quarterback problems. Taylor Heinicke.
Gosh.
This is like the third year we've had this conversation about Taylor Heinicke. And in fact, after his great performance against the Buccaneers in the playoffs in the pandemic season, right, in 2020, he had that really great performance at home in the playoffs. But, of course, they lost to Tampa. They made him the starting quarterback last year, and they were so in love with Taylor Heinicke as a starting quarterback, they went out, gave away assets, and agreed to pay Carson Wentz to play quarterback.
Yeah,
that's how much they love the full season experience of Taylor Heinicke. You want to go down that road again? I'm not arguing you shouldn't. I'm just saying they were there. They were there and chose not to. It's just so silly. Philly turned it over four times. Joe, you don't have to crawl on the ground. Joe Ovius is coming into the studio. I know we're on TV, so it looks kind of weird.
It's fun. He did not get on television.
I think I saw a plumber's butt. Anyway.
The audience didn't, though.
No, are you sure? Philly turned it over four times. Jalen Hurts probably played his worst game of the year. And the D.C. Commandos ran it for over 150 yards, and they kept the ball for 40 minutes. That's why they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go bananas about Taylor Heinicke. All right. As I'm talking about dumb in the NFL, and we have more dumb to talk about in the NFL.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century. Right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
I hate to say it, but I think Russell Wilson just might believe that we're all dumb. And I don't think he's wrong.
Hmm.
I think he played Peyton Manning for a fool. I want to hear, this is a clip from the latest, I think this is Peyton's Places, right? On ESPN Plus. And by the way, Peyton's Places is great. Eli's Places is probably better for sheer comedy. And it's intentional. He's not, it's not comedy by accident. It's legit trying to be funny. They're very good. Here's Wilson explaining why he went, why he stayed with football and wanted a transfer.
I called my former coach and I said, hey, I want to come back to NC State. He says, no, you just go focus on baseball. You're not gonna be able to make it in football.
Hold on. Did I hear that right? Rewind that back.
Just go focus on baseball. You're not gonna be able to make it in football.
As Harry Carey'd say, holy cow.
Wow. And I said, will you at least let me come back and compete? He says, no. They said I was too small. So then I'm like, all right, well, listen, I want my transfer page. What do you mean? I said, I want to be able to transfer so I can go continue my pursue my football career. I really had to make a decision. Am I going to continue to pursue this baseball thing right now in the midst of it all? I'm starting every night at second. Or am I going to go and go play college football? And so I was like, you know, I'm going to take the risk. If football doesn't work out, I can always come back to baseball. But you can't go the other way around.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to get into that just yet. I'm going to work it in, though. Joe Ovius is here from the OG on 99.9 The Fan and the Russell Wilson Never Failed podcast.
How many times have we done this show, Adam?
Is Peter King here somewhere?
No, seriously. How many times, for your statewide audience, they might not know that you and I did nearly 20 years of radio together in some form or fashion.
All right.
How many times have we done this damn show explaining Russell Wilson?
So, all right, just explain where Russell might be retelling a different story.
He's retelling the whole story wrong again. Anyway, yeah. Joe Giglio, who was the beat writer for NC State, has been around the NC State program for a very, very long time when he was with the News and Observer, had a passion project.
Right.
That passion project was to tell the definitive story of Russell Wilson's time at NC State, how he got there, what happened with Tom O'Brien, blah, 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 blah. So summer 2020, we put out Never Failed, the Russell Wilson story.
Yep.
Okay. Or summer 2021, I should say. And we talked to the only person we didn't talk to, the only two people we didn't talk to were Russell Wilson, because we didn't need to, because you and I had done countless interviews with Russell Wilson, including the day he announced his transfer to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Because people might not know this, where we do the show, share space with a studio that will satellite uplink with ESPN. So Russell's just chilling in the kitchen. And how'd that work out? You just rolled up to him and be like, hey, Russ, you want to talk?
What? And he was, sure.
Sure, why not? He explained it all. You talked some baseball with him, whatever. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is on record. But it shows you how little Russell Wilson cares for the actual record itself when he can just spin his tail and you got Peyton Manning helping tell him the story. You brought up Peter King.
Yeah.
Peter King, longtime SI writer. Now he's doing his thing with NBC, blah, 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 blah. You and I went to the NSMA Awards banquet in Catawba.
In a sweaty high school, un-air-conditioned gym.
Peter was very gracious with his time. He sat down with us, but the interview flipped. We were supposed to interview him. Instead, he goes, hey, tell me about this whole Russell Wilson, Tom O'Brien thing. Did we not lay it out to him in clear terms what happened?
We did, and if I'm not mistaken, it was like a month later where Peter told the Russell Wilson story entirely from Russell's point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Giglio,
Russell has that way about him.
He does. So to Giglio's credit, he wanted to, you know, use his contacts. We didn't talk to Russell Wilson. We didn't talk to Tom O'Brien because Tom doesn't want to discuss it anymore because he knows that he's never going to win that argument. He can't win
the argument.
So he's not going to play. So we did a very exhaustive podcast retelling of Russell Wilson's time there. I suggest that everybody go listen to it. And here's the galling part of this, okay? I just laid out instances to the audience where you and I have talked to people who should know better. There are players who know better. There have been countless attempts to get people to know better. And when we put out the podcast, a lot of people in the industry were like, wow, this is great. When he left Seattle, the Seattle Times columnist actually said, hey, Seattle Seahawks fans, go listen to this podcast because it'll actually put a lot of what happened here in Seattle in perspective on his way out. And we're like, oh. So if we all know that what Russell Wilson is saying is mythology, why do people continue to tell the mythology? I don't get it.
Because he is disarming in that way. We found this out year one of Russell in the NFL. They lose the playoff game in Atlanta. They're walking off the field, and Russell is already gushing about next year. Mm-hmm. And you could hear... It was almost as though to sports writers, and I'm going to put this right in your wheelhouse, Joe. It was almost as if he were singing Bruce Springsteen songs to sports writers.
In this case, it's like Tom O'Brien.
Right in their veins of his footballiness. So automatically, they're hooked. They are in love with Russell's footballiness.
Yeah.
First of all, I appreciate that he didn't use a Southern accent to Peyton.
Progress.
Yeah.
Because he did that in the Wisconsin commencement speech.
He did that.
Son!
Tom O'Brien suddenly had a Southern accent.
Son!
So this Ohio guy with a Southern accent.
All right.
So he didn't use a Southern accent. And by the way, I know you played every day at second base. But you hit 217. So if Russell was hitting 325, he wouldn't have gone to play football. They would have elevated him a level or two levels, you know, because the reason they drafted him in the fourth round, what I would tell people is that if you are drafted in the first five rounds of a Major League Baseball draft, then you are akin to a first-round pick in the NFL. And also, my understanding, and I also got this sort of confirmed,
you gotta confirm.
Listening to the to your podcast, was that it wasn't that Tom O'Brien said, and this was, I guess, from our interview, which I had forgotten, that he didn't think that Russell was an NFL player.
The NFL
told him. And by the way, Russell wasn't drafted in the first round. He was drafted in the third round.
And this is the problem that I have with Peyton. I know they're telling a story. Okay, I get it. It's Peyton's Places. It's not. It's empty calories at this point.
Yes.
Okay, but in the words of Harry Carey, holy cow! Well, we know how the story ended. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But when he was at NC State, nobody was thinking that this guy was going to go on to appear in two Super Bowls. Okay.
No.
Nobody thought that.
Elliot Avent, to his credit,
he's the only one.
Elliot Avent thought he could be he said at NC State he was a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
He said that to us sitting at a McDonald's.
Yes.
We did a show at a McDonald's.
Never forget. We've done radio shows everywhere.
We did it at a supermarket.
We did.
We're for sandwiches or something.
That's right.
It was silly. But Avent told us sitting at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
Over a sausage McMuffin with cheese.
Yeah.
That he was a better quarterback at State than Russell Wilson than Phillip Rivers, and we both looked at him like, "You're crazy."
Yeah, we thought he was nuts.
Nope, he is.
And that's I'm glad you brought up Elliot Avent too. And I think
he and Mike Lennon were the stars of those podcasts.
Elliot, the name of the podcast has never failed, and this kind of shows you that Russell Wilson will believe his own mythology at everybody's expense. And I guess and to Russell's credit, and you and I both know this because we've talked to enough athletes who have achieved greatness. They have to put themselves in a mental space that you and I will never understand.
Right.
Okay. They have to, you know, Michael Jordan created beefs with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the whole joke of The Last Dance. Like, that's when I took it personal. Dude, you lost money to the security guy. That's how personal you took things. You have to get to a mental place.
Quarters.
Right. You lost money to him, for heaven's sake. Regardless. So I'm not going to fault Russell Wilson for his mentality because obviously it's worked out for him. But the most insulting part has to be somebody like Elliot Avent, who basically discovered Russell Wilson, gave him the multiple opportunities to bring him to NC State. And when things were not working out in his positions, what did Elliot Avent do while he was at NC State? He put him everywhere.
Everywhere.
He let him pitch. So Avent, also with the relationship with his father, and we know how Russell Wilson feels about his father. Mm-hmm. There's a very specific episode in Never Failed where he talks about wheeling his father in, who was not in great shape, so that he could see Russell Wilson play football. That's a guy who did everything possible for Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And yet, Russell still will throw shade in his direction and about baseball, as though like nobody believed him in baseball. Dude, Elliot believed in you and did everything possible.
Played him at second, played him at center, let him pitch.
But that's Russell, man. And I think what's been interesting about this year, and I think the reason why you're seeing so many people come at him with the knives this season in Denver and former players, is because when you're not winning the Super Bowls, when you get exposed, nobody's going to ride for you. That's a problem.
Two things that happened in Seattle. One, he was not very popular among his teammates.
No.
Right? And I don't know what the reason for that is. I mean, Russell can come off as a little bit phony, even though it's genuine.
Sure.
He is genuinely that way. I think Russell likes everybody to know that he's doing good things, and he does a lot. He's always making appearances at hospitals, and he's doing a lot of charitable work.
All great.
Right, yes. But he likes you to know that,
and
I think that there were players in his locker room that didn't like it. And when he gets to Denver, he has no history with anybody in that organization nor the fan base. So when it wasn't going well, it was very easy for them to go, what have you done here?
He's also the consolation prize in Denver. They hired Nathaniel Hackett thinking that they were going to get Aaron Rodgers. That's another thing. That
was not a good... Not a great plan.
No. No.
That was two clunkers.
Yeah, they hired a guy who's
clock
management.
They lost the showcase showdown.
They hired a guy who didn't quite understand how NFL clocks work to get Aaron Rodgers in that
environment. All right, here's the other thing, a homework assignment for you, Joe Ovius.
Okay.
And you can show your work also. Tell me all of the players who left baseball for several years.
Dude!
And then came back to baseball with no problem.
I don't understand what it is about football people who think football is the most difficult thing in the world. It's not in comparison to baseball.
It's
the idea that, oh, I could just come back to baseball. No, you can't. No, you can't. Baseball chews you up and spits you out, man.
No, you could be amazing, and then the next year you stink, and that's it. That's who you are. There's
so,
no recovery.
You can come back to football. Football can be part-time for you. Baseball is not a part-time job, man.
Chris Winkie didn't play football for how many years? 4 years?
For whatever it was.
Then came back, tried to play baseball, mm-hmm. didn't. Came back, won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's a silly narrative, and shame on Peyton Manning for just nodding along.
Well, I mean, it's his place. What can we do?
It is. Thank you, Joe Ovius.
I'm not going to crawl out of here because I did realize we have spent many a time in hotel rooms together. So
that is true. All right, don't tell anybody what happened.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
The Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is here. Get a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, plus a small seasoned potatoes. That's a better breakfast for just $3 in three easy steps. One, wake up. Two, get out of bed. And three, head to Wendy's for your $3 breakfast deal. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour. Select a request $3 breakfast deal in order to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combos orders. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Thank you to Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan for sitting in. That'll be up on the 99.9 The Fan YouTube page. Adam and Joe reunion. I don't know. What are you going to title it, Dennis?
Oh, that's a great question. It's a reunion of a conversation y'all have had many times.
The 111th conversation between Gold and Ovius about Russell Wilson narratives.
And people still can't get it.
It's just, again, as
that
I'm watching
that. Might be what I title it. People still don't get
people
Russell
People still
Wilson.
Don't understand it. As I'm watching watching that little clip from Peyton's Places, mm-hmm. you could tell every time you tell a story that is, I mean, it's based in fact, but you have added so many flourishes over time to make it seem better. Like, I'm sure that. Well, I'm positive this happened. I hit a home run in a state playoff game.
Okay.
But it wasn't necessarily a game-winning home run or I don't remember the score.
Okay.
Right? But I hit a bomb in a playoff game, in a state playoff game, but I don't even think we won the game.
Okay.
Right? But I'm sure that over time, I told that story to the point where, oh, yeah, it was bases loaded, two outs, we were down three, and boom, there it was. I'm sure I did that because that's what we do. You tell the story, you know, you take another step, you take another step, you take another step.
Yep.
We make ourselves look better. Actually, I don't know if I've ever told that story.
It makes us feel good.
Yeah. So you could almost see that happening in Russell's eyes as he's talking to Manning. I was more disappointed in Peyton. It's like, wait a second, you know you're about to do this. There should be enough information available to you now. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, how did this whole thing happen? The whole thing happened. I mean, Russell was super confident in Russell. And he wanted to be able to do everything. And there are times when you can't do everything. And I think if Russell didn't hit 217, if Russell hit 325, Russell would be playing for, I don't know, the Colorado Rockies or the Texas Rangers or the Seattle Mariners or somebody not named the Denver Broncos right now.
Yeah.
If Russell was a three some odd hitter.
Even a 285.
Whatever. I have no idea if Russell was a good defender or not. But Russell was doing the, you know, the trips to spring training to, you know, just to go through one day, and he'd go hang out in the Yankee dugout. Remember, the Rockies traded his rights.
That's right.
To the Yankees because he wasn't going to play baseball anymore. And the Rockies got left holding the bag. They wasted a fourth round pick on him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we don't have to relitigate the whole thing. But Russell has, you know, played telephone tag with himself. And now the story is super embellished, and Manning bought all of it. Manning bought all of it. And because we listen and we eat it up, we'll just believe anything. But that's what we are. All right. I want to look into my crystal ball about NC State football. A couple of things I want to say right off the hop. I think NC State's program is excellent. It's probably better than it has been since, I'd say even before Dick Sheridan. I mean, how far back do you want to go with NC State football? I mean, do you want to go back to, I don't know, Holtz, Lou Holtz? You want to go back to the early 70s at Lou Holtz? Dave Doran has, in a much more difficult era, to be really good. Dave Doran has built a really, really outstanding program where I don't think they're going to have, you know, there'll be a year here or there where their team isn't good, but they're not going to have prolonged dips. They recruit well. They nurture great young men. They really are. I mean, it's a model program. The one thing they haven't quite added are the peaks. The real peaks. I'm not talking about the 9-3 peaks. I'm talking about the 10 or 11 win peaks. This year was supposed to be that peak. And it didn't happen. And in the recent history of NC State, there have been several years where one more loss than there should have been. Rarely have there been one more win than there should have been. But I'm not really here to complain about that. I think I spent the first 3 minutes of this talking about how much the program, how good the program is, how well they recruit, the culture that Dave Doran has built. But what happens next year if it doesn't go well enough? Because this team, I think the only team older, and I have no facts to base this off of, just how many fifth-year players. This team was older, I think, than every team other than BYU this year. This was supposed to be the year. Right? They were going to win 10. Maybe 11. Maybe unseat Clemson in the division and win the ACC, even though Wake Forest unseated Clemson in the division last year. This was going to be the year. And as it turned out, it wasn't. So what happens next year? My advice. Dave Doran has been here 10 years. He's done really well. This is a great resume. A great resume builder. I'd go. I'd find someplace else and build another program. I would, because the only way this is going to end here for Dave Doran, I think, is badly. And speaking from this standpoint, I don't think Dave Doran deserves this to end badly. I think he's done too good a job here for this to end badly. And I think it will end badly here. Because for whatever reason, and maybe it is self-inflicted, I'm not dismissing that, they have been unable to break through. They get to a point and then they bang their heads on the ceiling and they can't crack through and get to the other side. And maybe that's just, this is what the program is. This is what NC State is about. Man, we'd love to win 10. And I know last year was going to be a 10-win season, right? But the Holiday Bowl was canceled because UCLA decided they weren't going to play at the 11th hour. All right. We don't know that they would win the game. It's funny. You lost at home to Boston College. Where's the guarantee that they would have beaten UCLA? I'm not trying to throw shade, but the assumption that, oh, we were going to beat UCLA. Okay. If you say so, and I don't disagree with it. Mm-hmm. I think you would have, but it's kind of it's a safe assumption to make because there's no way to refute it really other than, yeah, probably. That would be my answer. Yeah, probably. I would have picked NC State to beat UCLA too. So, is this, if you're Dave Doran, you have accomplished great things here. Not everything you wanted to accomplish, but
he's done well. He really has.
It's a really good program. And if I were Dave, I would take what I've done here and go elsewhere and pad the retirement fund. Because if he goes to, let's just say, Nebraska, if Nebraska is interested, or if Nebraska goes for the guy who's at Kansas right now,
mm-hmm.
and Dave is a Kansas guy,
he is,
and he goes to Kansas. I mean, in the Big 12, in the Big 10, they're going to pay more money in the Big 10 than the Big 12. But, I mean, Dave could probably close to double his salary. It could. And there's something to be said for, at this stage, man, go strike while the iron is hot. It's my advice. But, selfishly, I hope he stays and it works out. But if Dave Doran called me and said, Adam, what do you think I should do? Which will never happen.
But you never know.
Right. He could be on the phone right now.
He could be.
I would tell him, go. Go. Arizona State. That's where I think, honestly, that's where I think Matt Rhule should pursue. If I had my choice of jobs, I wouldn't choose Nebraska.
No, I wouldn't.
I just don't think anybody's ever going to win at Nebraska again. But they're going to pay a lot. They're going to pay a ton to get out there.
There is that.
So that would be my advice.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.